Good evening. I'm glad y'all are here. Thank you very much. I wanted to mention one thing, and maybe I need to mention this at the end as well. People will trickle in maybe. So we mentioned Sunday morning in the Impact meeting, if you stayed for that, that we're going to be having some membership classes because eventually there will be an election coming up for a pastor. And so we're going to do some membership classes to make sure that everybody's squared away that wants to be a member and those kinds of things. So we decided to go ahead and get the ball rolling, and we're going to, so anybody listening on live stream or here live, it's not closed at all. Anybody that wants to come is welcome, but tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m., we're going to do a membership class. So we'll do it here at the church, and we'll probably do it back in the fellowship hall, if you know where that's at, back there. And, excuse me. So if you're interested in membership, please come. You'll be able to fill out a membership form there, and everything that needs to be taken care of, we'll be able to do. So, again, tomorrow at 5:30, if you'd like to come, we'd love for you to come. Amen? Amen. Okay. Praise God. Is everybody okay?
Yep.
Good. Good, good, good. All right. Blessed. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm going to mention a couple of things here that... Amen. What's a pastor do? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. Just think about it for a minute. He feeds, guides, maybe corrects sometimes. I heard amen. That's awesome. Try to help people to grow.
Yep.
Amen. Make disciples. That's important, right? Yeah, one of the things I wanted to mention is the truth. You know, truth is important. This isn't my message. This is a sideline here, a side note. Truth is important. You know, Jesus said, my words are truth. He said, Satan is the father of all lies, right? Truth's important. Truth's a big deal. If we don't know the truth, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he said to those Jews who believed, so he's talking to believers, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the truth's extremely important. Who wants to be free? I think we all want to be free, yeah. So we need to know the truth. And a real problem these days is we don't know the truth a lot of times. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You'd think a man that was a ruler of the among the Romans like that would have some clue what truth is. He's probably very educated, a man of the world. He didn't know what truth was. Jesus said in John 17 that the word is truth. Amen. So if we want to know the truth, we need to be in the Word. We need to know the Word. The Word's important if we're going to know the truth. Amen. Yeah, it's important. And a couple of thoughts here, and let me just kind of go to some things. So I mentioned that one of the things a pastor does is guide and perhaps correct. Brace yourselves. I want to talk about rumors for a minute. I'm going to define a rumor for you. Listen to this. A rumor is a currently circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. Uncertain or doubtful truth. You know, I'm the kind of person, when I hear something said, if it sounds like a rumor to me, I want to investigate and find out, is it true? Truth's important. I have a friend of mine. He actually lives here in Florida. And he's in the ministry, but he was a city council or county council? Do you remember? I think it was city council, fairly good-sized town he was on the city council of, and he was there for, I don't know, maybe a couple months, just observing things. And he saw some things that didn't look right. So he started asking questions. And people started resigning from positions because the questions he was asking were pointing to truth. Truth, sometimes we just need to ask questions. Amen? And rumors can go around. And folks, we need to remember, We need to know the truth, because if we don't know this, the truth that sets you free. And a rumor is a currently circulating story or report of uncertain or doubtful truth. You know, one of the things I want to know is, where did the story come from? What verifies it, what I'm hearing? So we need to get to the truth of things. Amen. We need to value truth. Are y'all with me? Listen to Isaiah 45:19. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Classic Bible. How many of you know that Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as dear children? What does that mean? Do things the way God does them. Act like God. Right? Why does the Bible tell us to act like God? Because we'll become more godly if we'll act like God. And that's actually the thing I want to talk about in my message, is faith with works. You've heard of faith without works. My message is going to be faith with works. But this is a side note. Now listen, this is Isaiah 45:19 in the Amplified Classic Bible. This is God talking to us. I have not spoken in secret in a corner of the land of darkness. I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing, but I promised them a just reward. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words. I declare things that are right. You know, one of the things I really look at is if I start getting pulled aside and told things.
That's right.
Amen? You know, told you, brace yourselves. Somebody starts pulling me aside, or over here, over there, telling me things. I'm looking at that because, folks, God said, I've not spoken in secret in a corner of the land of darkness. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, the truth, trustworthy, straightforward correspondence between deeds and words. I declare things that are right. If what we're saying is righteous, if it's true, we can just get up and say it. Amen. Jesus loves you. I don't need to pull you aside and tell you that. God is on your side. I don't need to pull you aside and tell you that. Healing belongs to you. I don't need to say that in the corner, because it's true. So I just want to encourage you, when rumors run around, ask yourself, what's the source of this? Where's this coming from? Am I being told this in a corner? Am I being pulled aside? God doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher, brother, that's good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. The truth's important. Throw me that blue marker, Rebecca, please. I've got my whiteboard here. I want to show you something. The truth's important. I'm going to draw three lines. Hopefully y'all can see these. Now, I'm going to try to make them approximately the same length as this one here. Okay? In the 1950s, they started doing these studies. I like research. I especially like research when it confirms the Bible. And I don't need research to confirm the Bible, but it's just a great illustration. And I love this one right here. In the 1950s, they started doing these things called conformity studies. They were looking at peer pressure. What's the effect of societal norms on decisions we make and things we will agree with? Okay? So this one conformity study they did, here's how it worked. They did it at this college. They'd have the professor, and they'd bring 10 students in. And 9 of the students were actors. They were in on the study. And one person was the actual subject of the study. So here's the question they asked. They said, okay, are these three lines the same length or different? Pretty simple question. But the guy who's the subject of the study, the 10th person, went last. And the other 9, the actors, went first. And the other 9 would say, they're the same, they're the same, they're the same. And 70% of the time, when they got to the 10th person, guess what they'd say? They're the same. Obviously not true. Obviously not true. What we say is important. They did the study a different way. What they did is they had the same 9, one person's the subject of the study, and they did this hundreds of times. And the study was done in different ways. You can look at this online. But they said, so they had 9 actors, 1 person is the subject of the study. So what they did the second time, though, is the second way they did it, is like the 5th or 6th person would say, no, they're different, an actor. Okay? So the first person says they're the same, second person says they're the same, on and on and on to get to the 5th or the 6th person. So the 5th or 6th person says, no, they're different. And then 7, 8, and 9 say, no, they're the same, the same, the same. Guess what that 10th person, the subject of the study, did? Over 99% of the time said they're different. One person telling the truth makes a difference. It's important. Amen. The truth's important. We need to value truth. I want to encourage you to value truth. Amen. Everybody okay?
Amen.
Well, good. So let's get into the actual message tonight. How about that? I want to talk about faith with works. And really what I'm talking about is we're changed by doing. We're changed by doing. Changed specifically by doing the word. And we need to take action on what we believe. We should take action on what we believe. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. I'm going to go there. We should have a slide for it, I believe. Yeah. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, he's contrasting two. This is a little bit of a confusing verse until you study it out. Brotherly love here in the Greek, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. That's the Greek word philia. Philia is referring to the feelings kind of love. Most of us, when we think of love, we think of feelings. That's philia. Okay, Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. That's where it gets its name. So you can put that back up there, please. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Well, why not? So Paul is writing this. He's saying, I don't need to teach you about brotherly love because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The second word for love there is the word agape. Agape is the Greek word really for God's kind of love. And it's a decision and it's a commitment. It's a commitment to someone, a decision and a commitment. I've talked about this before. I like the word decide. Decide, the etymology of that word, it comes from the Latin decidere, which means to cut off. If I make a decision, I cut off other options. So if I decide to love someone God's way, I cut off the options not to. And what this scripture is telling us, if you'll put it back up again, please. Just put it up there. And just, okay, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. What he's telling us here is feelings follow a decision. Yep. If I make a decision to love someone, Rebecca and I have done marriage counseling for 30 years, marriage ministry, I should say, marriage discipleship. We've done for 30 years, among other things, but that's one of the primary things we've done. And one of the things we'll teach people is what agape love looks like, God's kind of love, and how to apply that in their marriage. And we've seen couple after couple after couple after couple after couple after couple that didn't feel like they loved each other anymore. But when they would apply God's kind of love in their marriage, the feelings returned.
Absolutely.
It's not hard to get the feelings back. It really isn't. All you got to do is learn what God's kind of love is and apply it, and the feelings will return. Amen? I know when I was in the military, I didn't like coffee when I first joined. But let me tell you, 5 o'clock mornings, I got committed to coffee. And pretty soon, I liked it. Pretty soon, I liked it. You develop a taste for it. I remember when I was in the military, some of you guys were military, right? I used to run every day, yeah. I used to run every day because I wanted to stay in shape. Y'all probably look at me and say, yeah, he looks like he ran once. But I used to run 3 miles a day. And I can promise you, I never once went out, I would drive to the track very slowly. I never felt like running. I was not one of these lunatics that loved to run. I never felt like running. Some of y'all might enjoy it. I would drive slowly out to the track, get slowly out of the car, walk slowly up to the starting line, and start running. And somewhere between like a quarter and 3/4 of a mile, you know, you've got these endorphins. That's the hormones that make you feel good. And you're breathing. You kind of get into your rhythm. And I would begin to feel like running. So then I'd finish, and I felt like running. I had made the decision, and the feelings followed the decision. See what I'm talking about? Feelings follow a decision. You're changed by doing. We can't be led by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see, feel, hear, taste, touch, etc. Right? It is. As you take action, you'll feel like it. If people will make a commitment to choose to actually love others and do it, the feelings of love will follow. I think I told this story here before, but I'm thinking of it now, so I'll tell it really quick. This is a true story. There was a businessman who was very successful. He'd been married for 30 years. He'd come to despise his wife. And she didn't care much for him either. Anyway, he decides he's going to divorce her. So he goes to his attorney. He says, look, I want you to drop divorce papers, but don't serve them yet. Hold them for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, I want you to hit her with them. I'm just going to drop a bomb on her. Because what I'm going to do during this 30 days is I'm going to treat her like a princess. I'm going to take her to the best restaurants. I'm going to get her flowers. I'm going to open the door for her. Just whatever he could think of. Give her gifts, you know. Just treat her wonderful. And then at the end of the 30 days, he's going to serve her with the divorce papers and just really blow her out of the water, right? So he does this. For 30 days, he loves his wife. Loves his wife, right? So at the end of 30 days, the attorney calls him up and says, it's been 30 days. We're going to serve the papers today. And this is a true story. The businessman says, I'm going to be calm. He yells, no! Don't do it. My marriage has never been better. He was changed by doing. Amen. Yeah. The faith with works. That's what I'm talking about. He wasn't even necessarily in faith. He just began treating her good, loving her. And the feelings of love followed, just like 1 Thessalonians 4:9 tell us. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love isn't something you just think or say or feel. It's action. To actually love someone. Love's a decision. I mentioned that earlier. Dei sedere, to cut off. You know, I can decide to save money, but unless I actually save money, it's no good. Right? I can decide to lose weight, but it's no good unless I actually lose weight, make a change, right? Y'all are excited about this, I can tell. I can make all these decisions, but unless I act on them, it amounts to nothing. Amen. James 2:20, it says, should be right here, James 2:20. Anyway, it says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now think about that. If that's true, and it is, faith without works is dead, right? Then would it also be true that faith with works is life? If faith without works is dead, then faith with works is going to bring life. It's going to bring the power of God again into our situation, amen. Right? It'll bring change. It will change you. Faith with works will change you. That's what I'm talking about, faith with works. We are changed by doing. Just like if you put on love and actually love someone, the feelings of love will follow. Ephesians 5:1, I mentioned this earlier. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Again, why? Because if you imitate God, you'll become more godly. Amen. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our flesh, our natural person, we're not just going to act like Jesus. You have to put on Jesus and act like him on purpose. People say, I don't want to be a put on. Well, the Bible tells you to put on. It does. Put on Jesus. Why does it say to put on Jesus? Because if you put on Jesus, you'll become more Christ-like. If you imitate God, you'll become, I mean, if it's true that you're changed by doing, okay, and you are, we saw that in First Thessalonians 4:9, but if we're changed by doing, then if we'll imitate God, we'll become more godly. If we'll act like Jesus, we'll become more Christ-like. Those are good things, yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, another thing I remember from the military, I remember my drill instructor. My drill instructor was like 6'7", This guy was imposing. Oh, man. He just was built like a wedge like this, and he was just, you know, he would lay his notebook. He might have been taller than that. He'd lay his notebook on top of the lockers and write on it like this when he was doing inspections. That's how tall he was. And this thing, locker's like right here on me. Anyway, this guy was imposing, right? But I remember hearing a lot of these guys, they have to put on a certain persona to be a drill instructor, right? And in putting on that persona, they would begin to become that person they were putting on. And it would actually cause problems in their family and their relationships and their marriages because they became that person. You're changed by doing. We need to watch what we're doing.
Yes.
We need to watch what we're doing. Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll become more like Christ-like. Colossians 3:14 says, put on love. Like the guy in my story. If we'll put on love, we'll become more loving. We're changed by doing. 1 John 2:6 says we ought to walk just as Jesus walked. Walk just as Jesus walked. Now, what do you think that means? I don't know exactly how Jesus walked. You know, was it kind of like this? Or? I don't think that's what it means, his style of walking. It means his lifestyle of walking. Amen. Right? We should walk as Jesus walked. Why? Because if we'll put that on, if we'll purpose to do that, then we'll begin to walk as Jesus walked for real. Faith with works. Amen?
Amen.
Imitate God, put on Christ, put on love, walk as he walked. Why does the Bible tell us to do these things? Because it'll change you. It will change, it'll change you. We're changed by doing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We should have that one, I think. Look at this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Look at that unveiled face. I'm going to give you my paraphrase of this in a minute. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, here's my paraphrase of this. There it says, we all, with unveiled face. As I remove my mask, my false face, and look at Jesus as my example, and do what I see, reflect him into the world, the Spirit of the Lord will actually transform me into his image, a continual path of awesome. Read it again. Let's put it back up, please. But we all, with unveiled face, taking off that mask, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we look at him. We're being transformed into the same image that we're looking at from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You ever notice when you look in a mirror, if you move, that reflection moves? Right? It does what you do. Well, if we'll look into the mirror of Jesus and do what he does, it'll transform us. Does that make sense? Yeah, my reflection moves when I move. I need to move. My reflection does not move unless I move. Let's do what we see. You know, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Do you think that might be part of putting on Christ? Maybe that's part of walking as he walked? I think so. I think we want to do those things. So if you want to be like Jesus, act like Jesus. If you want to walk in love, act like you already do it. Find out what it is and start doing it. Amen. You don't have to feel like it. I never felt like running, but I did it. How many of you, I don't know, maybe you're retired now, but had a job, maybe 9 to 5 or whatever? Sure. What'd you do at, I don't know, whatever time in the morning you need to get up, get ready, and get to work. You got up, got ready, and went to work, right? You made a decision. Did you feel like it? Maybe not. Maybe some of you did, but maybe some of you didn't. But you did it. You made a decision to do it. You were committed to it, right? So you did it. You didn't feel like it. You don't have to feel like doing these things to do them, right? If you want to be humble, act humble. Think about it. If you want to be calm, act calm. You want to be bold? Act bold. Think about this. You know, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. It doesn't say the righteous feel as bold as a lion. Does it say that? No. We got to step out and do it. Believe, I mean, a lot of times I don't feel bold. I have to say things and do things I might not want to do. But so what?
That's right.
It doesn't really matter. I need to step out and do what God's telling me to do. I need to put on the boldness that God says I have. I see it in the Word, whether I feel like it or not. Okay, I'm bold. The righteous, I'm righteous. Bible says, you know, when you're born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's just who you are. You're right with God. So you step out and just you put on boldness. You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18 tells us that, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, when you feel fear, say out of your mouth, I'm excited. Didn't mean to scare you, brother. If you feel fear, like if you feel emotions that are contrary to what you're wanting to do, tell yourself, I feel it. Steer, take control of your emotions. Say, I'm excited.
Amen.
We had a friend of ours who, a few years ago, she had gotten a job selling vacuum cleaners door to door. I'm thinking, God bless you. But she was afraid to go up and knock on doors. And I mean, I told her, I said, you know what? Take control of your emotions. Begin saying out of your mouth, I'm excited. I'm excited. She did. Helped her. Start saying out of your mouth, I'm excited. There's power in doing. Faith with works. Put action to it. Identity is so important. How we see ourselves. Amen. Identity is important. Did you know you can't consistently outperform your image of yourself? That's quite a thought. To me, it is. You can't consistently outperform your image of yourself. We want to change our image of ourselves, and one of the great ways to change your image of yourself is to put on what you want to be. Put on Christ. Imitate God. Put on love. Walk as Jesus walked. Put on love. You know, love never fails, according to 1 Corinthians 13. That's a pretty good thing to put on. Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's a pretty good thing to put on. We get too hung up sometimes on the past. Letting mistakes and failures, or you could say learning experiences, hold us back and stop us from taking action today. Yeah, I said this before. You know, fear and excuses, let me preface it this way. A lot of people, a lot of times we let fear and excuses, none of us, other people. You ever heard of excusitis?
Yeah.
It's an inflammation of the excuse-making gland. But we let fear and excuses keep us from doing things, right? We listen to fear and excuses. We may never verbalize them, but inside of us we think, you know, I don't think I want to do that. I think I'll eat a donut instead. Then I'll call them after that donut. And now I think I need a cup of coffee. And then maybe we'll call them. You know, fear and excuses have never accomplished anything great. Let's make a list of what fear and excuses have accomplished.
Retreat.
I guess that's one thing, but I wouldn't call that great. So we ought to quit listening to it. Amen? Everybody ever heard of Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was what? He was a
basketball
player. He was pretty good. Arguably, I would say the best maybe ever to live. Some people argue with that, but it's hard to debate. He was very good at least. Did you know Michael Jordan missed 9,000 shots? He lost 300 games. He missed 26 game-winning shots. I mean, think of this. Okay, 3 seconds left. We're down by one. Michael, we're going to get the ball to you, and you win the game. 26 times, he loses. Yet, Michael Jordan's a winner. Why? Because we're not looking at his mistakes. We're looking at what he did. Yeah. I think about Jerry Rice. Y'all know who Jerry Rice is, was? He was a receiver primarily for the San Francisco 49ers, and probably the greatest receiver that ever lived. You know, Jerry Rice had great talent, but he had an even greater work ethic. The day he set the record for the most reception yards ever in NFL history, or maybe it was the most receptions, whichever, he set the record, right? Most ever in history, and he still owns it today by a wide margin. He's way ahead of anybody else. But the guy was amazing. You know what he was doing the next day? At 5 o'clock in the morning, he was on the field catching passes. That was his work ethic. Yeah, the guy, he was putting action to it. You're changed by doing. That's why he was able to achieve what he achieved. Amen? But these guys, there were passes Jerry Rice dropped. There were patterns he missed. Right? That happened. But they didn't look at those things. They looked at themselves, you know what? I'm a winner. I'll promise you, Michael Jordan saw himself as a winner, still does. Jerry Rice saw himself as a winner. I'm sure he still does. We need to let go of the past, let go of our mistakes, stop looking at them, and look at who we are in Christ. You know, without him, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So just say, I can do all things. Say it. You can do all things. Your last breath of air is important. Yeah? But not nearly as important as your next one.
Amen, brother. That's good.
Let go of the past. I'm not saying it wasn't important, it wasn't a big deal, but it's not nearly as important as what's ahead of you.
That's right.
Not nearly. You don't have to live consistent with your past. You're changed by doing faith with works. You know, last week I talked about bringing God's power into your life on Wednesday night and how magnifying the Lord does that. If you were here, you remember that. And tonight I'm really talking about bringing God's power into your life again. I didn't call it like bringing God's power into life part two. That's faith with works. If faith without works is dead, then faith with works is life. It brings life. You don't have to live consistent with your past. When you feel fear, you know what that means? It's time to act. It's time to do something. When you ask yourself, what time is it? The time is now. People who act, who do what I'm talking about, they raise the game, so to speak, of people around them. You know, Michael Jordan, when he got on the court, everybody played better. It's true. Everybody raised their game because he's out there. When Jerry Rice, when you were covering, when a receiver or a safety or whatever was a defender was covering Jerry Rice, they knew they were going to have to work harder than if they were covering anybody else. It would raise their game. Yeah? You putting works with your faith is going to raise the game, so to speak, of people around you. It's going to be a benefit to other people. You will be changed by doing. Your doing will affect them as well.
Amen.
Amen. I think it was, I want to say it was Cornelius Vanderbilt. And when he was an early industry mogul, you know, one of those barons of industry, right? And when he started his business, he became extremely wealthy himself, but he began to spin off millionaires. Now, that's a time when millionaires were very rare. People that worked for him just began to become millionaires because they were working for him, because they saw how he did things. His action, him doing, impacted people around him. Amen? You know, just like us, somebody telling the truth is important. Somebody stepping out in faith is important. This makes a difference to other people, so does that. It will change lives. I'm going to read you something. This is amazing. It's another research study, but listen to this. I want to encourage you to really tune in and hear this right here. Researchers recruited a group of men in their late 70s and 80s to join a study on reminiscing. The researchers converted an old building into a 1959 themed retreat, complete with old Sports Illustrated magazines, plus music and movies from 1959. So they basically converted this into 1959. The men were instructed to actually relive the past as if they were younger. They were to make a mental attempt, a decision, desidere, cut off, a decision, a mental attempt to be the person they were in 1959. You could say they were supposed to put on a younger self. Remember we talk about putting on love, putting on Christ, imitating God? They were supposed to put on a younger self. From the time they walked through the doors, they were treated as if they were younger. The men were told that they would have to take their belongings, their luggage and things upstairs themselves to their bedroom, even if they had to do it one shirt at a time. That's mean. Nope. In 1959, you take your own luggage up there. They listened to music from 1959, watched movies from 1959, and all their conversations had to be in the present tense as if they were actually living in 1959. This went on for 1 week. At the beginning of the week, the men were tested on a variety of physical and mental characteristics. Are y'all tracking with me? They were tested at the beginning of the week on a variety of physical and mental characteristics. They were tested again at the end of the week. The results were nothing short of amazing. On most of the measures, the participants got younger. The group showed greater, get this, they showed greater improvement in joint flexibility, finger length, arthritis reduced, and they could extend their fingers further. Finger length. And manual dexterity. On intelligence tests, 63% scored higher. They did better on memory tests. There were also improvements in height, weight, gait or stride, posture. Many stopped using their canes. That's amazing. Amazingly, their hearing and eyesight measurably improved. Finally, they asked people unaware of the study's purpose to compare. Now get this. They asked people unaware of the study's purpose to compare photos taken of the participants at the end of the week to photos taken at the beginning of the week. These objective observers judged that all of the participants looked noticeably younger at the end of the study. You're changed by doing. They seem to have bodies that actually were younger. That's powerful. Think of that. The power of doing. We're changed by doing. Who says that after 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, this has to happen to you? Did God say that? Never said that. What God said to Moses, said about Moses, was that at 120 years old, his eyesight wasn't dimmed and his natural force wasn't abated. Now, Moses had an inferior covenant to us.
That's right.
The Bible says in Hebrews, we have a new and better covenant based on better promises. Now, I'm not saying you need to act like it's 1959. What I'm saying is we need to quit buying the junk the world tries to feed us.
That's right.
And believe God. Believe God. Faith with works. I tell people, don't you ever buy me black balloons. I will not participate in that party. I ain't going to do it. So yeah, I'm not saying act like it's 1959. I'm saying your actions will change your life. Believe who God says you are. Put on who you are. Y'all tracking with me? Did you know we think, well, if we're happy, we'll smile. Did you know that smiling makes you feel happier? Yeah, if you'll smile, just put on a smile for 60 seconds, you'll feel happier. People think, well, if I was happy, I'd sing. Singing makes you happier. If I was happy, I'd dance. Dancing makes you happier. Yeah? Why? Because feelings follow a decision. Our actions control our feelings. Man, the world is trying to conform us. You know, 1 John says, now think about what I just said. The world's trying to conform us. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. The Bible also says over there in 1 John that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. What's he trying to conform us to? I tell you, he wants to get the Christians out of here as quick as he can. Yeah. He wants us just to get on out of here. I want to disappoint him. I want to hang around and make a difference. Amen. We've got a mission on this earth. We're here for a reason. We have a purpose. And I am not going to surrender to the devil. And the whole world may be, you know, under the sway of the wicked one, but I'm not going to believe his junk. I'm not going to be conformed to the world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I can prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to put on who God says I am. I want you to put on who God says you are. And your life's going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Amen. We're not going to be weak and defeated. You know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, the Bible says there was not one infirm among them. There was millions of them, right? Not one was infirm. Think of that. That's amazing. Not one. Not one was infirm. Yeah, wow, that, I agree. Yeah, that's amazing to think about. Not one infirm among them. You know, there were some of them that were way up in age. Some of them may have fell off the mule yesterday, but there was none infirm among them, right? Yeah. So the world's trying to conform us. And if we're going to be the best version of ourselves, if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to be what God's called us to be, we need to be nonconformist. Interesting thought. Be not conformed to this world. Yep. That's just what the Bible says, right?
Right.
We to be nonconformists. You know, I'm gonna, if commercials come on and say, you know, if you have chronic headaches, take this medicine here and it'll give you diarrhea for the rest of your life and and suicidal tendencies, and think, my God, I'll take the headache. You know? I'll just keep the headache. I don't need diarrhea for the rest of my life. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? The world's trying to conform us to this stuff. I'm going to tell you, I got a better solution for headaches than that. Right? By his stripes we were healed. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This headache shouldn't be in my body. I just rebuke the thing. Amen? I'm not going to be conformed to the world. We're not going to be conformed to the world. If the culture's ungodly, I hate to say this, but man, our culture is changing. It is. But if the culture's ungodly, we need to be counterculture. It's not fun. You know, it's men can compete in women's sports. Somebody's got to tell the truth. It's actually dangerous to these ladies. I'm not against those men. I'm not. God loves them. Jesus died for them. Man, they need the Lord is what they need. I'm not against them. You know, saying something like I just said, some people say, well, you're a homophobe. No, I'm not. I love them enough to tell them the truth. And you could just go on and on with this stuff. Somebody's got to stand up and tell the truth. One person telling the truth makes a difference. Yeah. That's right. One person. You taking that stand, even though it's not comfortable, it's not fun, but you know what? You're righteous. You're bold as a lion. You might not feel like it, but you are.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not a measure of your health to be well adjusted to this society we're seeing unveiled before us. It's not a measure of our health to be conformed to the world. the church should be conforming the world. You know, I think it was in 1950, the church was like in the top three influencers in the world. We're not in the top 10 now. I say we change it. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. The power of doing, we are changed by doing. We have to take action. On what we believe, on what we say we believe. It's not enough just to say. We need to do. Love not in word only, but in deed and in truth. We need to take action on what we believe. Are y'all comfortable? Is everybody real comfortable now? Good. Good. I'm glad. But we need to take action on what we say we believe. The logical question is, how much action is necessary? Lots of people are looking for a shortcut. Nobody, none of y'all, I know y'all aren't, but I'm talking about other people. You know, there really isn't a shortcut. The more action you take, the more focused you are, the more distractions you eliminate, the more success you'll see. That's right. How much time? Yeah, I've got time to do this. I wasn't sure I was going to do it. Let's see here. I'm going to draw a little thing here. So let me get my, I don't want to miss anything. Four categories that people fall into here. These are based on levels of action. And I'm going to put code here. There's the D ends. That's supposed to be a D. The D ends. The R's, the NLA's, and the MA's. These are four levels of action people take, and everybody falls into one of these categories. There's the people who do nothing. How much success are we going to have doing nothing? Probably not much. I'm not being critical. I just want us to see. There's the people who retreat. How much success are we going to get if we retreat? Probably not much, right? There's the people who take normal levels of action. That's most people are right there. Normal. And again, I'm not critical. I'm just trying to unveil some things to us. I want you to see some things. Normal levels of action. And then there are people who take massive action, MA. Massive action. I'm going to name some people for you that have taken massive action. I think one would be, we mentioned already, Michael Jordan, Jerry Rice. How about Jesus? Do you think he took normal levels of action? Do you think he retreated? Do you think he did nothing? No. How about Moses? David? Paul? The Apostle Paul, I mean. No. These are people who took massive action. Now, you can name other people. We may not like them or whatever, but they're people that take massive action. Elon Musk, Bill Gates. Yeah? Massive action. So, I'm trying to grab this marker. So, we need to ask ourselves, what level of action do we want? Where do we want to be here? What does water do? Whoops. At 211 degrees. What's it do at 211 degrees? It doesn't do anything. What's it do at 212 degrees? It boils. What does paper do at 450 degrees? Nothing. What's it do at 451? It ignites. So how much effort do we need? We need to get to the boiling point. We need to get to ignition. Keep making the effort. Don't stop. Keep turning it up until you have combustion, until it begins to boil. Jesus said in Revelation, I'd rather you be hot or cold, yep. Not lukewarm. Yep. Amen? Let's be hot. Let's be hot. So many people are taking normal action, waiting on a big break. Think about that. A lot of people, like I said, are right there. They're taking normal levels of action, thinking, well, sooner or later, a big break will come my way. Yeah. You know how to increase your chances of a big break? Increase the action. Increase the action. Keep turning it up. And I've said this before, but people are looking for a big break. Man, Jesus is your big break. Jesus is your big break. What are we waiting on? I mean, he has provided everything. When he hung on that cross and said, it is finished, he meant it. He paid the price. He'd done it. Then he, you know, died, paid for all of our sins. His body was broken so we could be whole, not just our physical body, but our circumstances as well. Shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could be in relationship with God, be a child of God. I mean, man, that's awesome. Think of that. Jesus is your big break. The Holy Spirit, the promises of God that he provided, power, authority, the gifts, the calling he gave you, and all of this is irrevocable. Romans 11:29, once he gives it, he never takes it back. All the promises of God are yes and amen. You know, stop waiting. Get out there. Are you, don't answer this rhetorical question, but are you tired of waiting on success? Join the ranks of the risk takers. There are far fewer people out there. Take massive action and don't stop. Do the word. How many, again, rhetorical question. I ask myself this kind of stuff. How many Christians do the word? I'm not asking you to answer. I'm just think about it. I'd say by and large, the majority don't. That's sad. It's massive action just to do the word.
Amen.
Just do the word. Faith with works. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Is that right? Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. So, they didn't kick off and quit, did they? They had to play the game. They had to keep going.
But another team did.
Another team, what'd they do? They kicked off and quit? Okay. What do you think the first game next season? Will the Kansas City Chiefs kick off and quit because they're Super Bowl champions? No. They have to stay with it. You know? So what's that mean? When you see success, you're not done. You stay with it. Amen. You begin to, you ever driven behind a tractor trailer, you can begin to, what do they call that? Is it drafting? You get behind one, you get in their slipstream, and it'll up your gas mileage and all this. People can do that with you. Man, you start making a difference. You start winning. We're building kingdom winners, right? That's mine and Rebecca's vision just for our ministry, always marriage ministry, whatever. We want to see people win in whatever they're doing in life. It's whether it's marriage, parenting, whatever it is, receiving healing, building kingdom winners. We want to see people win. Man, you know, it's not just about us winning for us, though. That's important, yes, but, man, it's about us winning for others. So, building kingdom winners, people who win in the kingdom and win for the kingdom. And just like that tractor trailer going down the highway, you create this slipstream or whatever behind you, so to speak, and people could be drawn into that. And it actually makes it easier for them. You know, they say geese, right? When geese, they fly thousands of miles and they fly in that V formation. Well, they create this air current for themselves. And the one, the lead, I guess, he's the one that kind of plows the way in the air and makes it easier for the rest of them. And every so often, they'll switch out.
Amen.
Another one will jump up front there, right? So you, your success and your Christian walk, it's going to help other people. Do y'all see this?
Yeah.
Faith with works. What would you do if you weren't afraid? Don't answer, just think about it. If you were guaranteed to succeed, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you knew you could fail? Does the answer change? Should it? Think about it. I want to challenge your thinking. But what would you do if you couldn't fail? If you were guaranteed to succeed? Amen. Can we stop doubting ourselves long enough to believe Him and get to work? James 1:22 through 25. Be doers of the word, take action, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just hear and you're deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. If I walk away from a mirror, my reflection stops doing. True? But if I stay in the mirror, keep looking, the reflection keeps doing what I do. If we stay in the mirror of Jesus and keep doing, we'll keep doing what he's doing. I only do what my Father does, put on Christ. Y'all tracking with me? Yeah. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, keeps doing, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. A lot of people quote that doer of the word. It says doer of the work. We got something to do. Faith with works. This one, the one that does it, will be blessed in what he does. His life will be changed by what he does. There's the guarantee of success. We're asking, hey, what would I do if I were guaranteed to succeed? Well, there it is. There's the guarantee. This one is blessed in what they do. Jesus said in John chapter 8 that those who abide in the word are his disciples indeed, and those are the ones that are made free by the word. Amen. There's your guarantee of success. Pray, yes, pray, but don't forget to pray with your legs.
That's right.
God, somebody needs to go witness to my neighbor. Don't forget to pray with your legs. Amen. Well, I'm just not feeling it. That's a sure sign it's time to do it. You'll never feel it until you take action. It's like running. I wasn't never feeling it. But I did it. I still get up and exercise, believe it or not, but I do. I'll get up and exercise, and I really never just am excited about doing that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, if you want to go somewhere, it's a great idea to start the car, but you know that's not enough. You got to put it in reverse or forward, however you have your driveway, and you got to press the gas. Got to be some action to it, right? We have to take action. We need to do something about it. What's God saying? What you going to do about it? What's God saying to you? What are you going to do with it? I'm going to give you a little assignment. Can I do that? You don't have to do this, but this is a suggestion. You know, we want to challenge people to do something great, to apply the word to their life. So I'm going to go to Ephesians 4:22, and we're going to read through 24 here. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Look at the next verse. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off the old you. Be renewed in your mind to maybe what you ought to be, and put on that new man that you ought to be. That's what this is saying. Did y'all see that? So what I want to challenge you to do is this. Take 5 minutes and write down what the best version of yourself looks like. What's the best version of you look like? Should look a lot like Jesus. I'm not talking about physical appearance, you understand. Then, y'all are going to say, this is nuts. That's nuts. Take a 2-week break from who you are. Put off the old man, okay, and act like that best version of yourself. Look at it again, Ephesians 4:22. Can we put that there? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So that's exactly what I was saying. Put that off. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So let's get a grip on who we ought to be. And verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What that's saying, and depending on the translation you read, which was created like God in true righteousness and holiness. You're awesome. We need to believe we're awesome. You're awesome. You are awesome. You are created according to God, like God, in true righteousness and holiness. Put that person on and act like that's who you are. It will transform you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, did y'all get anything?
Yeah.
Good. Y'all can stand up. I want to pray for you. Praise you, Lord. You got anything? No? Well, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that I believe you've spoken to us. I think you've challenged our hearts, Lord God. And Father, I just want us to be encouraged that, Lord, we can, just by acting on the word, putting action to our faith, we can change our lives. We can see more success. And this isn't something that takes a long time. I think, Lord God, as we begin to see ourselves as you see us and act like it, just like when I would begin to run within minutes, I'd feel like running. When the man began to love his wife, somewhere in that 30 days, he loved her after years of despite and despising her. He loved her. That love returned. Lord, as we put on Jesus, we'll be more like him. As we imitate you, we'll become more like you. As we put on love, we become more loving. Father, I thank you for that. We can make a radical change in our life in a short time just by acting on the word. Faith with works. We are changed by doing. Thank you, Lord. We will not be conformed to the world. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what's the good and acceptable, perfect will of God in our lives. Prove. We'll see. Prove. That means we see the evidence of it. We will see the evidence of what you have for us, the good things. And we will be changed, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for something, I'd be glad to pray for you. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the time is now. Amen. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the time is now. If you need healing in your body, the time is now. Why wait? So we'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, you're dismissed. I love you.